with the use of number... I'm lost. 347? Rock of Ages. When you find your place, would you please stand?
347. Rock of Ages, rest for me. Let me hide myself in thee.
Sorry, let's just start over. And we'll just start from the beginning and not an intro.
Rock of Ages, cleave for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy word. Which one be a sin? Dove of fear, make me great and make me pure. Do my zeal no rest is more. Could my tears forever flow? Could not atone. Now a sin and now alone. In my hand, no Christ I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. While I draw this fading breath, may thy eyes shall close to death. When I rise to worlds unknown, and behold thee on thy throne.
Keep singing.
Rock of Ages, clap for me.
don't stop singing. Just keep right on going. Don't stop.
Oh, Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, pray give me thanks for this day that you bestowed upon us and the many blessings in our life. Lord, I pray that your Spirit will be poured out abundantly with us, Lord, especially those that are in pain at this time, Lord. I pray that you will step in and take course in their body, Lord, take away this pain. Well, I also pray that you will be with Mark and little Justin, Lord, that they're suffering from an illness. Lord, I pray that you'll step in and take away this illness from them, that you will bring them back to the local, Lord. I pray that you will make them happy and healthy and whole again. Lord, I also pray, give me thanks for making it possible for us to be here today, Lord, to offer praise for you, Lord. And I pray that you will continue to watch over our little local. Lord, I pray that you will be with the ministry that's out and about, Lord, that you will transpire to them and give them the strength and energy to make it. Lord, I also pray that you'll be with our up-and-coming Phoenix reunion, Lord, that you'll provide a very safe trip for each and every one of us that are going to go there. Lord, I pray that your Spirit will be poured out abundantly with us while we're there, Lord, that we can be uplifted again and have our hearts and our batteries rejuvenated again, Lord, that we desperately need that. Lord, I also pray that you'll continue to be with our brother today, Roy, Lord, that you will transpire through the course of his heart, Lord, that the message that will be brought before us today, Lord, will truly come from you, Lord. And I pray that you'll continue to uplift him, Lord, and especially when he's in pain, Lord, and suffering, Lord. I pray that you will step in and take away this pain from him also. Lord, I also pray that you'll continue to be with us as we go back to school and back to work, Lord, that you'll keep us safe from all evil and out of harm's way. And I do ask this in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.
And we will continue with the use of number 107, the angel message. 107.
saints are so full and free. And my soul is thrilled with gladness and banished are my tears since the precious angel message came to me. And praise the Lord, O my soul, abundant mercy, O how free, in a joyful song, my spirit doth accord, since the precious angel message came to me. Searching at the sea. But now I am rejoicing in this the latter day since the precious angel message came to me. Then praise the Lord, O my soul. Abundant mercy, O how free. In joyful song spirit doth accord, since the precious angel message came to me. I once my eyes are open, my sins are washed away, and the kingdom I can very plainly see. No longer fears and doubtings, my trusting soul dismays, since the precious angel message came to me. Then praise the Lord, O my soul, abundant mercy, O how free. In joyful song, my spirit doth accord, since the precious angel message came to me. Now for celestial glory, in the presence of the Lord, I will work and watch and humbly bow the knee. No longer faith but knowledge and true and sweet accord has the precious angel message brought to me. Then praise the Lord, O my soul, abundant mercy, O how free. In joyful song, my spirit doth accord, since the precious angel message came to me.
Well, lately we've been kind of on a wing and a prayer. I don't know when Roy actually goes up to the cabin and spends time up there, if he's going to be here today or not. but he is here. But he is here today. And with that, I'd like everybody to once again shut out the outside world, invite the Lord to be with us and in our hearts, and especially be with our speaker for the day, Elder Roy Kuhn.
Mr. Rich. I want to welcome all to our service. And him talking about whether I might be here today or not, I have to share with you a little story. Bob got ahead of me yesterday, and he went up and got his four-wheeler. And he come back, he found me laying face down in the snow. And finally, I floundered around. He wanted to help me out, but he got me. We got up, and he hauled me back up to my four-wheeler. But I'll tell you what, I was so stiff and sore last night, I wasn't sure what I was going to be like today. But I did a little praying to the Lord, and the Lord gave me the strength to be here and do my job like I'm supposed to. I got up this morning, and the first thing I thought was, I better do my back exercise. My back's bothering me. And then I said, no, the Lord comes first. The Lord will help me with my back. If I get my service done soon enough, then I'll do my exercises. So as I was praying a little this morning, I was kind of wondering just exactly what to talk about today. And I came up with the theory that I should maybe talk about duties that we have as members. And I was thinking of Tammy. She probably made the biggest decision she'll ever make in her life last Sunday. And she's going to find that she's on a straight and narrow path. And it's going to be hard to hang on to that rod of iron. And we know that old Satan will be right out there. He's out there, every one of us. And the only way we can fortify ourselves is with prayer, lots of prayer. The Lord will protect us from the fiery darts of the adversary. I was thinking about, you know, none of us are perfect. Every one of us has got problems in our lives. We've got, it's an ever-ending thing that we see things in our lives we need to change, that we can go walk closer to the Lord. I remember when I used to drink, and I loved my beer, and I'd have joined to the other church there, you know, the old church, and I was still drinking my beer, and I asked one of the elders there one time, I said, "What do you think about a member drinking beer?" And he said, "Can you truly serve the Lord to full capacity and drink beer and set example to the rest of the people?" And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, he's right. So I drank for a while, and then one day, I think I've shared this with you before, but I'm going to share it for Tammy's sake, that I was going up to church reunion, and I thought, a week without a beer, I can't make it. I'll not make it. And I had some beer with me, and so just before I got up to the gate, I drank the rest of my beer, and I said, no beer for a whole week. And by Wednesday, I'd made up my mind that I wasn't going to drink no more. It came to me that I didn't need that, like I thought I did. I thought I had to have it as a crutch, and I had to have my beer every day and everything, and I found out I didn't need that beer. And I came home, and I had a six-pack, and I gave it to Mary's sister. I said, I'm through drinking. This is the last beer I'm going to have. She looked at me like, yeah, that'll be the day. The way you like to drink, yeah, that'll be the day. But she took the beer and probably put it in the refrigerator and said, you'll be down here in a couple of hours to get it. But that was my last beer. I quit right then, and it wasn't too long after that I had a calling in the ministry, that the Lord saw that I was preparing myself so that I could serve Him fully. And I remember I talked to Mary's brother about it. He said, if you'll give up drinking, he said, the Lord will give you something else to take its place. And believe me, He's kept me plenty busy. I haven't needed anything to drink. It wasn't easy, not really easy, because I really had a habit for it. I'd come home and have a bad day, you know, and I think, man, boy, what a good nudge would do for me right now. Sure, take the edge off things, and then I'd grit my teeth and go on without it. And so nothing's impossible in our lives. There's things that we need to change. I'm still working on my bad temper and my lack of patience. And I don't know, Mary says that sometimes it's hopeless, you know, that I got some of these traditional things and I don't seem to get them out of my system. Even though I try and pray about it, why, old Satan's there. You know, he's right there. He's the agitator. He's the father of lies. He's the one that causes all contention. And he's right there waiting for every one of us. We're all can be victims. Nobody's going to walk down this whole world and not be tempted by Satan, because he's right there waiting when you walk out that door today. But it tells us that we must watch and pray always, because Satan desires to have us. I'm going to take you to 3 Nephi on page 651. I'm going to begin with verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must watch and pray always, lest you be tempted by the devil, and ye are led away captive by him. And as I have prayed among you, even so shall you pray in my church among my people, which do repent and are baptized in my name. So that tells us right there that we continue to pray. The Lord prayed to His Heavenly Father, and we're to pray to Christ. He's an arbitrator between us and the Heavenly Father, and we pray to Him for our wants and our needs and for our protection. He goes on to say, behold, that's in 49, I am the light. I have set an example for you. I'm going to have to back up. I got in the wrong place here. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto His disciples, He turned again unto the multitude and says unto them, but behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must watch and pray always, lest you enter into temptation. For Satan desires to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Wherefore you must always pray unto the Father in my name, and whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, which is right, believing that you shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. And behold, ye shall meet together often, and you shall not forbid any man from coming unto you when you shall meet together, but suffer them that may come unto you, and forbid them not. But you shall pray for them, and you shall not cast them out. And if it so be that they come unto you oft, you shall pray for them unto the Father in my name. Therefore, hold up your light, that it may shine unto the world. When I think about holding up that light to shine unto the world, I was thinking about that how we do actually have an influence on the people around. We're supposed to set a good example. We're supposed to be able to set an example of Christ, not of Satan. And sometimes we kind of get on the borderline there. We kind of straddle the fence, I'm sure of that. I know I do. And there's not a time in any one of our lives can we say, I didn't need no more to improve, because we all have to continue to improve, and we have to stand steadfast in the gospel and have the strength of Christ with us to ward off the evil darts of that adversary. 55, he says, behold, I am the light which you shall hold up, that which ye have seen me do. Behold, ye have seen that I have prayed unto the Father, and ye all have witnessed, and ye see that I have commanded that none of you should go away, but rather have commanded you that ye should come unto me, that you might feel and see. Even so shall ye do unto the world. And whosoever breaketh these commandments, sever himself to be led into temptation. So unless we stand strong against the adversary, we can be victims quite easily. And we live in a world where there's so much influence that way, that so many people don't believe in the Lord, and Satan's taken over their lives, and he wants to lead them down to destruction. And it's up to us as individuals, each one of us as members of the church, to try to seek out these people that really have a sincere heart, a pure heart, that want to find the Lord and break these bonds that Satan has upon them. And each one of us had to go through that at a time. When we went into the waters of baptism, we had to make up our mind who we were going to serve. And we made the commitment that we're going to serve Christ until the end. And when he says to endure, he meant it's not going to be easy. He didn't promise it's going to be easy. Tammy's going to find as she goes down life's path that there's going to be a lot of rocks in the way, stumbling blocks, things there that are going to try to distract her, things that are going to try to take her away from the Lord. And through prayer and fasting and meeting with her brothers and sisters, she will be strengthened. And that's what we're here for. Each one of us is here to support each other, to help them in their time of need. Sometimes it's only a matter of knowing that you have someone to turn to, that you can talk to when you have a problem. I know Mary's always had a good ear for that. It seemed like anybody ever had a problem wouldn't have been Mary's ear. And she's always willing to listen, and it's because she cares. She cares about people. And that's the way we all should be. Sometimes all it takes is a phone call. Someone's having a problem, and you just call them and say, how are you doing? Anything I can do for you? And you know, I'm willing to be there if you need me. And that's all they need. And that's what we have. That's the way we should, each should be as members of the church. We have this obligation towards each other, to love each other and to help each other and do anything we can for each other and confide in each other. Sometimes we don't like to confide. We don't want to tell people our business. We can have something that's really hurting us and we don't want to tell anybody. Well, they got problems of their own, you know. It's pretty easy to say that. They've got enough problems. They don't need my burdens. And yet, sometimes when I pray to the Lord, I think about, well, my problem's pretty minute, you know, compared to the people who have terminal cancer and things like that. And I know he hears these prayers. Sometimes I think, well, maybe I shouldn't bother him, you know. He's a busy man. But each one of us should pray regardless of what the situation is, especially for our sick and our needy and those that have special need. If we say we have no sins, we deceive ourselves. I'm going to take you 1 John on that. Because we all have sins. None of us were born perfect, and none of us are going to leave this world perfect. We're told to strive for perfection, but I remember Marvin Ely told me one time, he said, I don't think man will ever become perfect. And yet he was probably the most perfect man I ever knew. Beginning with verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. I got on the wrong one. I'm sorry, you guys. Try again. In 1 John here. Somewhere I got on the one I had last week and I didn't pull the marker out of it. Now, what did I do with that? I could have read that one again, but I don't think you would have. Don't give up. It's here somewhere. Okay, now we're going to try again. I'm going to be reading 1 John 1 through 10, then I'm going over to 2 John, and I'm going to read 1 through 6. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifest as we have seen it, and bear witness, and we show unto you that the eternal Father, which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that we also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This, then, is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So it tells us we can be cleansed, that we can have our sins forgiven us if we only get down upon our knees and ask for forgiveness and admit that the things we've done are wrong. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now I'm going to chapter 2 now through 6. My little children, these are the things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if a man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He has said, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that say he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. And so he set this example for us, and he told us over and over to do as you see me do. And he stood before mankind and set a good example. He didn't do the things sometimes that we do in this world that where there's so much bad influence out there, but he set this example, and a lot of people would look at him and they they could see that he was truly the Son of God, that he had an example to set, and he wanted us to set that same example as we go about our daily activities and associate with our loved ones and our friends. King Benjamin was one of my favorite men because he was truly a servant of the people. He wanted to serve the people, and he didn't want any pay for it. And he wasn't after any glory. He's just a true servant. And I want to share with you some of his message, and it's going to begin on page 258. And I'm going to begin on verse 35. And it came to pass, after many years, there were a goodly number gathered together in the place of Mormon to hear the words of Alma. Yea, and all were gathered together that believed in his word to hear him. And he did teach them, and did preach unto them repentance and faith on the Lord. And it came to pass that he said unto them, Behold, here are the waters of Mormon, for thus they were called. And now, as ye are desirous to come into the fold of God, and be called his people, and are willing to bear one another's burden, that they may be light, yea, and are willing to mourn with those that mourn, yea, and comfort those that stand in need, and comfort to stand as a witness of God at all times, in all things, and in all places, that ye may be, even unto death, that ye may be redeemed of God, and be numbered with those of the first resurrection, that ye may have eternal life. So it tells us to bear each other's burdens. And like I said before, we've all got burdens. Some of them are just little ones, some are great ones. But we all have a burden of some kind. That's why we have our prayer services, so we can pray for each other with their burdens. We pray for the sick and the needy. We pray for any prayer request that someone has. If they have a prayer request, why, we pray for them. And that's why we have our CCEG website, our email group, that we pray for these people. As I take their names off the list each morning, well, I pray for each one of them, even though I don't know them. And I think that's important, you know, because many of these people, if we have a prayer request, they'll be praying for us even though they don't know us. I'm going to take you now to back to Mosiah on page 220. Guess I may have that messed up too. No, it's here. Where I was so wide awake this morning, I was wondering I even got a service going here. It was hard for me to get out of bed this morning early. In fact, it's just plain hard to get out of bed. Beginning with page 220 on verse 18. And again I say unto you, as I have said before, that ye have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or have ye known of his goodness, and have tasted of his love, and have received remission of your sins, which caused such excellent great joy in your hearts, even so I would that you should remember, and always retain in remembrance, the greatness of God and your nothingness. In other words, we're very like the grains of sand in God's eyes, because he's so much greater than us and has such great power. Sometimes we'd like to take the credit for the things we do, but when you look back, God had a hand in it many times. When something we do that has been really good, maybe in helping our neighbor or helping someone that has a great problem, well, the Lord had a great hand in that, because he gave us a thought in our minds that we need to go help them and do what we can. And he talks about our nothingness, and and is great and long-suffering towards you unworthy creatures, he says, unworthy. And so, we are probably unworthy creatures when you stop and think of all the blessings that we have, all the goodness that we have, living in a country with the freedom that we have, having plenty to eat, having the love of our families. We have so many blessings, you know, and yet we're probably unworthy in the Lord's eyes, because do we really thank Him for everything that we receive? I know many times we forget to. We have a special blessing and we forget to thank the Lord, and yet it came from Him. It tells us, and humble yourselves, even in the depths of humility, calling on His name, calling on the name of the Lord daily, standing steadfast in faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of an angel. So it tells us we've got to stand fast in our faith, you know. We've got to hang right in there. And there are many times that things won't go our way, and we're going to ask the Lord, say, well, why did you do this to me, Lord? Why did you let this happen? And yet we don't really know, you know, because the Lord is so much greater than us, and our understanding is so minute that we would have probably understand if He told us. And 22 says, and behold, I say unto you that if you do this, you shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God and always retain a remission of your sin. And you shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of Him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. And you'll not have a mind to injure one another, but to live peacefully and to render to every man according to that which is due. And you will not suffer your children that shall go hungry or naked. And I'm going to add, and you will teach them to walk in the ways of the Lord, teach them the gospel. Neither will you suffer that they transgress the laws of God and fight and quarrel one with another. Serve the devil, which is the master of sin, or which the evil spirit which has been spoken of by our fathers, he being an enemy of all righteousness. But you will teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness. You will teach them to love one another and to serve one another. And also, ye yourselves will succor, which is to help those that stand in need of your succor. You will administer of your substance unto him that standeth in need. And you will not suffer that the beggar putteth his petition to you in vain and turn him out to perish. Perhaps thou shalt say, the man brought upon himself his misery. Therefore I will stay my mind and will not give him of my food, nor impart unto him of my substance, that he may not suffer for his punishments are just. But I say unto you, O man, whosoever doeth this, the same has cause to repent, and except he repenteth of that which he has done, he perish forever and has no interest in the kingdom of heaven. For behold, are we not all beggars? And I think when we stop and think about it, we depend on the Lord for everything. And we try to thank Him for the many blessings we receive and thank Him for the food that we receive. Yet we are truly beggars. Without the Lord, why, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have anything to eat. Do not all depend upon the same being, even God, for all substance which we have, for both food and raiment, and for gold and for silver, and for all the riches which we have of every kind. And behold, even at this time you have been calling on His name and begging for remission of your sins. And He tells us, you know, when we ask for the remission of our sins, we don't do this alone. We got Him on our side. We're asking Him to help us get over these things. Help us to walk that straight and narrow. Get the things out of our lives that we need to get out so we can truly walk and do as He tells us to do, where He said, do as you see me do. And He has poured out His Spirit upon you and has caused that your heart should be filled with joy and has caused that your mouth should be stopped, that you should not find utterance so great as your joy. And now, if God who created you, on whom you depend on for your lives and for all that you have and are, doth grant unto you whatsoever you ask, that is right in faith, believing that you shall receive. Oh, then how had you ought to impart of your substance, that you have one to another? And if ye judge the man who putteth up his petition to you for your substance, that he perish not, and condemn him, how much more just will be your condemnation for withholding your substance, which does not belong to you, but to God, to whom also your life depends. And when we stop and think, you know, we really don't own anything. We can't take it with us. When we have that final breath, you know, and leave this world, everything we have is behind us. So really, we're just stewards over all this stuff. The Lord gives us all this stuff to use, and maybe we can hand it down to our families and our loved ones, but nobody's going to take it with them. And yet, you put up no petition, nor repenteth none of the things which thou hast done. I say unto you, woe unto that man, for his substance shall perish with him. And I say that these things are those which are rich as pertaining to the things of the world. Again I say unto the poor, you have not, and yet have sufficient that you remain from day to day. I mean all you that deny the beggar, because ye have not, I would that ye say in your hearts that I would give not, I have not, if I had, I would give. So he's saying there that those that are just rarely making on their own, you know, and able to survive in this day where the economy's slowly getting worse and all those things, is, if you don't have the money and you can't give, the Lord doesn't require it of you. It's those that have the money and have their surplus and they have a little extra that they could help out mankind and help out the church, those are the ones that are expected to pay. And of course, the more that we have, the more that we can give, and the more we give is because we are truly blessed of the Lord. The Lord gives us these blessings because we're sharing all these things with the people that need it and with the church. And so we're blessed. We're blessed people. You can't outgive the Lord. The Lord gives us more than we can ever give in return. Now, on with 41. And now if you say this in your hearts, you remain guiltless, otherwise you're condemned. And your condemnation is just, for ye covered that which you have received. And now, for the sake of these things which I have spoken unto you, this is for the sake of retaining a remission of your sins from day to day, that you may walk guiltless before God. I would that you should impart of your substance to the poor, every man according to that which he hath, such as feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick. And then when I see that visiting the sick, I think about how important that is for people that's in the hospital or someone that's sick. Just like our little group is very great about taking meals over somebody if there's a sickness in the family, and they appreciate having a meal taken to them. Mary took one over to our granddaughter and her husband the other night, and it means a lot to them. Not only is the food great to have a nice warm meal that they're ready to eat, but it shows that you really care for them. You can tell somebody you really care for them, but actions speak more than words. But when you do things for them, they realize you really care for them, that they really mean something to you. Now, I had left off of visiting the sick there on 43, and then ministering to their relief, both spiritually and temporally, according to their wants. And see that these things are all done in wisdom, in order, for it is not requisite that a man should run faster than he has strength. And again, it is expedient that ye should be diligent, that thereby ye might win the prize thereof. Therefore, all things must be done in order. And I would that ye should remember that whosoever among you that borroweth of his neighbor should return the thing that he borroweth according as he doth agree, or else thou shalt commit sin, and perhaps thou shalt cause thy neighbor to commit sin also. Have any of you got something around the place there that you borrowed and keep thinking, I got to get that back to that guy. He may need it. You don't want to wait till he has to bang on your door and say, are you ever going to bring that back to me? I've been waiting a long time for this, and I needed it several times. And then tells you his neighbor might sin too. He might say, well, he got that from me. I'll just go over there and steal something in return. And that would cause him to sin. So it tells us to be willing to lend our whatever we have to someone if they need it, because it's not really ours. We're just stewards over it. But it tells us that it should be returned, that anything that we borrow should be returned to its rightful owner. And finally, I can tell you all the things whereby ye might sin. For there are divers ways and means, even so many that I can't number them all. But this much I tell you, that if you do not watch yourselves and your thoughts and your words and your deeds, and observe to keep the commandments of God and continue in the faith of that ye have heard concerning the coming of our Lord, even unto the end of your life, you must perish. And now, O man, remember and perish not. I'm going to take you now to 3 Nephi. It's the name of the church. I know you're familiar with this, but I thought I'd kind of let Tammy know there's a lot of names of churches. There's a lot of churches around and different ways you can go, but Christ tells us that there's one name for the church, and he tells us why, and I'm going to share that with you on page 672. I'm going to begin with verse 9, because this is kind of interesting when we think about it. It says, behold, it came to pass on the morrow that the multitude gathered themselves together. This is, of course, after Christ's ascension, and he was talking to the Nephites. And he gathered himself together, and they both saw and heard these children. Yea, even babes did open their mouths and utter marvelous things. And the things that they did utter were forbidden, that they should not any man write them. I think that's truly a miracle. And it shows to us that the Lord can speak through anyone. It doesn't have to be an apostle. It doesn't have to be an elder. It doesn't have to be a teacher or a priest. It can be a child. It can be a woman. The Lord chooses who he's going to speak through. That's why we don't believe in a prophet. People that believe in a prophet, they think he's the only one that can bring forth a message. But that doesn't say that in the scriptures. It says he'll choose who he's going to speak through. And it came to pass that the disciples from Jesus had chosen whom John... he had chosen, began from that time forth to baptize and teach as many as did come unto them, and as many as were baptized in the name of Jesus were filled with the Holy Ghost. And many of them saw and heard unspeakable things, which are not lawful to be written, and they taught and did minister one to another. They had all things in common among them, every man dealing justly with another. Wouldn't that be something to have all things common among us, dealing justly one with another, ministering to each one, especially with special needs that they have, and knowing what these needs were? That would really be great. That would be a Zionic people. And it came to pass that they did all things even as Jesus had commanded them. And they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Excuse me, and they which were baptized in the name of Jesus were called the Church of Christ. It came to pass, as the disciples of Jesus were journeying and were preaching the things which they had both heard and seen, and were baptizing in the name of Jesus, it came to pass that the disciples were gathered together and were united in mighty prayer and fasting. And Jesus again showed himself unto them, for they were praying unto the Father in his name. And Jesus came and stood in the midst of them, and said unto them, what will you that I should give unto you? And they said unto him, Lord, will thou We will that thou wouldest tell us the name whereby we should call the church, for there are dispositions among the people concerning this matter. And the Lord said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, why is it that the people should murmur and dispute over this thing? Have you not read the scriptures which say, You must take upon you the name of Christ, which is my name? For by this name ye shall be called at the last day, and whosoever taketh upon him my name and endureth the end, the same shall be saved at the last day. Therefore, whatsoever ye shall do, you shall do it in my name. Therefore, ye shall call the church in my name, and ye shall call upon the Father in my name, and he will bless the church for my sake. And how be it if my church save it be called in my name? For if a church is be called by Moses' name, then it be Moses' church. Or if it be called the name of man, then it be the church of a man. But if it be called in my name, then it is my church, if it so be that they are built upon my gospel. Of course, that's the thing about it. It's got to be built upon his gospel. There's lots of churches of Christ around, but they're not built upon his gospel. 21 says, Verily I say unto you that ye are built upon my gospel, therefore ye shall call whatsoever things ye do call in my name. Therefore, if ye'll call upon the Father for the church, and may it be in my name, the Father will hear you. And if it so be that the church is built upon my gospel, then will the Father show forth his works in it. But if it's not built upon my gospel, and built upon the works of men, or upon the works of the devil, verily I say unto you, they have joy in their works for a season, and by and by the end cometh, and they are hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence there is no return. For the works do follow them, for it is because of their works that they are hewn down. Therefore remember the things which I have told you. Behold, I have given you my gospel, and this is the gospel which I have given unto you, that I came into the world to do the will of the Father, because the Father sent me. And my Father sent me that I might be lifted up at the cross, upon the cross, and after that I have been lifted up on the cross, I might draw all men unto me. It tells us that it says, so they'll have a season of time, these other churches, you know. We see them packing them in. Their parking lots are full. And they'll have a success for a while, even though they're not teaching the true gospel. But if they're not built upon the word of Christ, they'll have this time when they're bringing in members and teaching the wrong things, and they'll be able to do that. And then the time will come when the Lord will take over. And I'm glad that we're not one of those churches. I'm glad that it tells us that there'll be a few in number. It tells us that there'll be a few in number that are the true followers of Christ. So sometimes we look around and we see that we're not the largest church. I don't mean a thing, because the largest church is the church of the devil. I want to thank you. And one more thing I do want to add for our finish up. We need to stand by Tammy and Mark, and they continue to want to learn, and they are going to continue to have our weekly study class. And we're going to have these classes as long as they're interested. And you might pray for them and pray for us as we conduct these lessons. And I might add, Charlie's doing an excellent job of helping on this, or I'm helping him. I don't know what it is. We're both working together anyway. Well, thank you.
You know, that is one interesting thing, that if you talk to, I want to say, any member of the Church of Christ, our Church of Christ, you know, they can tell you, you know, testimonies of what brought them to the church. You know, one that I always focus on is Mike's testimony of what brought him to the church, and knowing that it was the true church. You know, it was an awesome testimony. And I think we all felt that, you know, from time to time of, you know, what brought us to the Church of Christ? You know, we prayed about it. I prayed about it because I was born and raised Roman Catholic, you know, but I prayed about this of, you know, is this the right decision I'm making? Am I going to see the right church? Am I part of that right church? And I'm glad that Roy brought this up, that, you know, if we prayed about it, we are given that answer. And I strongly believe that we are the true Church of Christ. I wanted to share that. And plus, I still have your level from 3 years ago. I'll bring that back. Right when you said that, I'm like, oh. I still have one of your tools. So I'll bring that back. Or I'll give it to you when we... So I'm
referring to that, right? I forgot all about that.
But yeah, I still have it.
But
but we'll bring our service to a close with the use of number 116, Wonderful Words of Life.
Jesus, only Savior, sanctify.